I'm Tony Pippa. I'm a senior fellow in the Center for Sustainable Development at the Brookings Institution. I lead the Reimagining Rural Policy Initiative that analyzes the extent to which federal policy effectively supports rural and small towns in their community and economic development. One thing that I would say that distinguishes rural school districts from suburban and urban school districts, or at least gives them a particular characteristic, is how important schools can be for rural places. As a center of community, as a community anchor, they're often an economic anchor, actually. They're sometimes the significant employer in a particular rural place. But what some of the defining characteristics of rural school districts often have to do with, paradoxically, the central role of a school in helping create the identity for a particular community, but yet also the distance, because often rural school districts might have schools that are consolidated or be looking for economies of scale across a fair amount of distance where there's not very many people. So there's a lot of geographic distance with not very many students in them. And so, you know, if they're defined in that way, it can be challenging from a financing point of view, but also from the point of view of the student feeling connected to their community as well. So basically, being able to drive down the costs of services that might need to be provided by serving more people in. So you want to reduce costs by serving a larger population with the limited resources that you have in some way. And so that resource is touching more people rather than fewer people. And so, for example, you might seek to reduce administrative costs by having one administrator work with several different schools or lots of different populations in those schools, if you can arrange that to make it make sense both administratively and geographically for those students to be able to get the services they need rather than have many different staff people having to serve many different populations. That's variable across the states because of the different financing mechanisms that states have for schools and for school districts. But generally speaking, like anything, like any schools, I think a common denominator or barometer across schools across the U.S. is that property taxes are generally the baseline funding source for local schools. Having said that, for rural schools, that can be a challenge. Tax bases can be more constrained and limited in rural communities and in sparse communities and remote communities, and often need augmented either through financing mechanisms at the state that seek to sort of even out how revenue gets shared via property and other kinds of taxes. And then, frankly, is also augmented by the federal government. And the federal government has different programs that they make available, sometimes specifically for rural, but then sometimes just for certain types of students that might be disproportionately in rural. And so it is a mix, and it's a complicated mix. When we're working in rural community economic development, we use another term all the time called capital stacks. And how do you put the different pieces of revenue and financing together to be able to make a project or an institution work? And I would say rural schools have capital complicated stacks. They have local taxes that they're depending on, but they're also having to complement it with financing from different places. The other thing that can be challenging for rural places, whereas in an urban or sometimes a suburb, especially in suburban schools, you might actually see PTAs or even like foundations associated with the school where there's private funds, philanthropic funds being made available, either through fundraising or through parents actually putting their money on the table. That tends to have a much lower to be a much lower source of funding in rural areas. They often don't really have access to parents or to other kinds of philanthropic fundraising. They will do that, but it's going to be at a much lower scale than it might be in suburban or urban areas as well. Local property taxes can be limiting for the amount of resources that are available for rural schools. Distance can mean, for example, extra costs, right? So getting students to and from, especially if you're looking at sort of enhanced educational services, things like that. And property taxes in rural areas, property values are going to tend, again, generalities here, are going to tend to be lower, depending on the extent to which you have property taxes for business, depending on how well the rural area is doing. Those can be limiting as well. And so they can be, and they can be more fragile, right? Rural economies are often not as diverse or adaptable to economic shocks or to changes. And so it can be harder for school boards to be able to plan depending on what's going on with the local economy and what they're able to be thinking about what the future looks like for their facilities, for the services that they're providing, all of that. And so I think it's just more vulnerable and less certain, and often can also even be more fiscally constraining. Well, distance can be certainly an important characteristic there, an important dimension that drives off costs. Getting students to and from is, you know, the other thing is, I mean, proportionally speaking, rural districts can find challenges in attracting the talent they need to be providing their services. It can be harder to attract teachers, for example. And so relatively speaking, so that when you look at that proportionally, it might seem that teachers are paid at lower rates, but actually for the place that they're in, that might be proportionately higher, right? And so building costs aren't any cheaper in rural places than they might be otherwise, because cost of materials and cost of labor to actually build facilities and maintain facilities can actually just be just as expensive as they might be in another place. And yet, you know, you've got the increased student costs and sort of getting people to and from. And so all of those things can really combine to make the proportional cost per student higher in rural places, even if they're serving less students. If you want to even go deeper on that, I mean, think about it. Like if you're in a bigger school district in an urban or suburban area and you're sourcing material for your facilities, you have more facilities, right? And so you're going to need more material. You can actually negotiate a lower price because you're working at a scale that makes it more competitive for the suppliers, for example. And generally, you're not dealing with the distance to be able to get the materials there. So if you're a rural school district and you only have one or two schools that you're looking for those materials for, it's harder to get a lower price. Then you're also having to deal with the distance of getting it there. And actually, you're sometimes having to pull in the tradespeople who are going to do the work for you and have to pay them a premium to be able to come. You might be needing expertise or, you know, skills that, you know, someone might need to come from outside the area. And so you might need to pay a premium actually to get them to come work, depending on what you might be installing, for example. And frankly, to your point, when we were just talking about this, you know, generally speaking, again, large generalities here, but it's been harder for rural places to maintain their facilities. And so, or to create newer facilities. And so you also have these maintenance costs that have been accruing over time, and you often have older stock, you often have older facilities, they haven't been updated on as regular a basis. And so all of those things really combine to drive up costs. Yeah, you know, one way to think about it is, like, I don't know if you've ever, you know, gone to vacation, like on an island, like go to Hawaii, or go to, like, they've got to import a lot of things. And so it's like really, it's like basic things seem really expensive if you're there just for the week. And you know, rural isn't as exaggerated as that, but often, especially in remote and sparse places, because they're more remote, that's what you're doing. You're basically importing things from the outside, right? And it's a premium that you got to pay to be able to get it into. What's really challenging for rural school districts is this trade-off and balance between how do we make our finances go as far as possible? And that sort of drives this question around, quote unquote, economies of scale. Should we consolidate? How can we share costs? How can we bring costs together? Those sorts of things. Versus schools are really important centers of community and often are a big part of a community's identity. Schools don't just play the role of educating students. They're also a place where community events are held, where parents are finding important information that they need to make sure that their families are healthy and whole, and actually are really like a rallying point. When I say identity, I truly mean identity, like the community psychology and identity. Think of like local sports and local high school football teams, or even elementary and middle schools, like who they are as a place. And those two things can be in real tension to each other. And the practical considerations of like financing and how do we get as most, you know, how do we get as much out of the money? How do we make opportunity available? How do we best use our resources to be able to do that? Can be in tension sometimes with, well, we want that elementary school to be in their community because that's where everybody gets to know each other. That's where we create sort of a healthy civic society. That's where the parents are going to come and congregate and get to build relationships and know each other. And in fact, one of the advantages of living in a rural community is that you often have relationships that go across socioeconomic classes and a lot of other differences as well. But you can lose that then if you're just consolidating and bringing lots of different schools together in one big school. Those two things are really in tension with each other, and they're very existential for communities themselves. But I think people who are outside of rural places don't quite get how important and how difficult that tension is and those trade-offs are for rural communities to actually grapple with.